You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
What is it that people talk about when they attend funerals? A professor at Ohio State University conducted a study to answer this question. And he began his study with the assumption that most people attend funerals in order to pay their respects to the deceased and to console and to encourage the survivors. But the professor was surprised. After attending more than 250 funerals, he learned that most people who attend funerals are not much interested in comforting the survivors. Most people who attend funerals are interested in one thing, and that is they ask the question, how did the death take place? In the Bible, in the Gospel of John, we read about a funeral which took place many centuries ago. And at this funeral, the most popular person, a man named Jesus, did something very different than most people would do today. Instead of all kinds of questions and probing and inquiry about how Lazarus died, Jesus focused his attention instead on comforting two of the closest survivors, Mary and Martha. In the Gospel of John, chapter 11, we read, "And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother Lazarus. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. She said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' 'Even now,' she said, 'I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother shall rise again.' And then Martha responded to Jesus and said, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus then said to Martha, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die.'" It's interesting, isn't it, to note that when Jesus offered his first words of comfort to Martha, her response was very much like some of us might make today. Martha knew Lazarus would go to heaven someday, but she was looking for encouragement now, in this life. For those who are left behind at funerals, the hope of heaven often seems to be so disconnected and so remote from the challenges of everyday living. Now, isn't that how many of us often feel today? The Christian faith is fine and we all want to go to heaven, but it seems like the center of the Christian faith, the hope of heaven and the hope of the resurrection, often appears to have very little to do with everyday living. And this is especially true when we are young, when we are 13 or 17 or 23. Oh yes, sadly for many of us today, the Easter resurrection hope affords very little strength and meaning as we drive to work on Monday, when we face unexpected bills on Tuesday, when we have family quarrels on Saturday, or even when our best friends have let us down. And so because of this widely held misconception that Jesus is important only when we die, it is time for us to look once again at God's Word and to be encouraged and to be reminded that Jesus is our helper, not only at death, not only at funerals, but in every trial we face in this life. This need for the Savior's tender touch, the daily yearning for His saving strength, and the deep desire for His healing words can be clearly heard in the plaintive cry of many of the abandoned children of our land. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, over 1 million children run away from home every year. Some of these children are simply rebelling against parental authority, but many others are forced out by irresponsible parents. For example, during an interview with a major newspaper, one disowned teenager confessed, "I see pretty houses, and I pretend that I live there. I want to go home, but I don't have a home anymore. I called my dad, and I asked him if I could come home, and he said, 'No, I was too big to live with him now.'" Another young runaway confessed, "I tried to hang myself, but that didn't work. I can't even do that right anymore. I want to die so that I won't hurt anymore. when winter came, I called my dad, and he said to me he didn't want me anymore. Now, do these statistics and heart-rending confessions indicate an urgent need for concern? If we study the matter a bit further, the answer to that question is not difficult to reach. Last year alone, over 5,000 teenagers and children were buried in unmarked graves. That's right. Over 5,000 children and teenagers were buried in graves which bore no name whatsoever. This is a staggering statistic. This means that 5,000 children had no identity when they met death. Nobody knew them. And those that buried them didn't know who they were either. And so, do we today have any words of encouragement? Is God concerned about all this? The answer is yes. The Lord Jesus Christ is very much concerned. And so, if you are a young person facing an uncertain future, then always claim as your solid foundation for life and as your spiritual key to the future the wonderful words of Jesus which he spoke to his disciples when he said, "Lo, I am always with you, even unto the end of the world." This simply means that as a young person, no matter what your difficulties in life might be, the Lord Jesus Christ will never desert you. He is by your side every hour of every day. Now, of course, this promise that Jesus is always with us may not seem possible. But the Bible tells us that Jesus is present on this earth, and he moves especially among those who worship and those who serve him. In Revelation chapter 1, Jesus is pictured as one who walks among congregations or groups of his followers. And so for this reason, if you feel down and if you are in need of help and encouragement in life, then search immediately for a church where the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached. In this church, there will also be people who care. These people care because Jesus Christ lives within them by faith. And therefore, if you are also a young person, don't hesitate to join a youth group in an active church. There you will receive the blessing and the support of other Christian people your age. The Lord Jesus Christ has established his church on this earth as a blessing and as a refuge. In Christ, the church offers hope to all those who are weary and to all those who are burdened with the hassles of life. Now, the youth of our nation are not the only ones being crushed by the demons of despair. Satan has also increased his attack on women. His mirrors of deception and his traps of temptation are extremely clever. And according to the Chicago Tribune, one of the things in our present society which is causing so much discouragement among women are the articles which appear in women's magazines. For instance, the Chicago Tribune recently carried an article entitled 10 Ways to Get Really Depressed. And the author points out that one of the most depressing female activities is to have a steady diet of reading major women's magazines. These magazines focus on looking young and not growing old and erasing wrinkles and removing the bulges. One lady, now serving as an editor-in-chief of a very well-known women's publication, announced that from now on, we want to use more pictures. She said, "We are going to have pictures of girls spinning and kicking and swirling. We are going to," she said, "be much younger." And so why does this constant barrage of smiling women represent an outright attack of the devil on our female population? Simply because this type of hype in journals causes many women to become depressed and discouraged. Simply because life is not reflected on the covers of women's magazines. Life is not one big smile. Life has a lot of bumps in it. One well-known authority stated that our problem in life is that we don't live in the real world. We are trying to live in a world that we ourselves have made up. The author of the Chicago Tribune article then concluded that the anxieties and depression caused by photos and articles in women's magazines today have now risen so high that executive women are inducing vomiting to stay thin, and healthy women are submitting to surgery in order to make their bodies more fashionable. Oh, when Jesus was speaking to Martha at the tomb of Lazarus, at that particular moment, Martha saw Jesus as one who was helpful only at funerals and only at the time of death. But Jesus then quickly clarified this misconception when he said, Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. In this often overlooked statement, Jesus was simply saying that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ don't wait for funerals, and they don't wait for death in order to be blessed by Him. Believers live in the power of Jesus every day. The blessings of the crucified and resurrected Savior flow steadily into the lives of His followers every hour. This means that women who are helplessly involved in the anxiety of aging, of the anxiety of wrinkling skin, and of graying hair, these women can have an entirely new and uplifting attitude in life. This is available through faith in the author of all new life, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter reminds all of us of the beauty and the life that God gives when he says, "And let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses. But let it be the hidden person of the heart," the Apostle Peter says, "with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God." Wrinkles and drying skin and sagging muscles are all signs that life does not go on forever. Outside of Jesus Christ and the heavenly hope, this is a terrible thought, that someday death is inevitable for every one of us. But for those who have faith in the new life of Jesus Christ, the wrinkles and all signs of aging are a blessed reminder that we don't have to face the thought of continuing forever in this world, a world scarred and disfigured by sin. Instead, all who pass from this world trusting in the saving power of the Savior, they shall be immediately welcomed into the very presence of God. In that place, there shall be no more aging, no more tears, no more need to read women's magazines. Instead, in that place, we shall be given a new and glorious body. St. Paul talks about this in his letter to the church in Philippi when he says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory, by the exertion of the power that He has, even to subject all things to Himself." A little later in the same letter, the Apostle uplifts his readers when he says, "Be anxious for nothing." And then finally, St. Paul completes his message of encouragement by saying, "And God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Now, the fact that not every woman looks like the women which appear on magazine covers, this is a gracious reminder from God that He offers a special blessing to everyone who loves and follows Him. This is a special power which gives a beauty that never changes. This beauty is worked within the heart. It is accomplished by the work of the Holy Spirit. And when this Spirit of God begins to stir in the heart of a believer, then positive results are inevitable. These results are called fruits, fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are not new caps on white teeth. They are not facial skin free of acne. The fruits of the Spirit are not perfect eyebrows or naturally curly hair. In his letter to the believers in the Galatian congregation, St. Paul says that the fruit of the Spirit is love. It is joy, it is peace, it is patience, it is kindness, it is goodness, and it is faithfulness. Yes, it also includes gentleness and self-control. This is a beauty that time and that age can never remove or never wear down. This is the beauty of women who are grafted by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. These women no longer need to fear and to fret that they will not be acceptable because they do not rate being on the cover of a woman's magazine. The joy of these women rests on faith in Jesus and on the work of the Holy Spirit. Now we must ask the question also, are women the only ones involved in this vanity? Recently, Newsweek magazine had a special article on this very subject entitled, "You're So Vain." The author pointed out how concerned and even paranoid many men are today about how they look. In this revealing article, it was pointed out that the percentage of men getting permanence in their hair, cuticle work done for their nails, and other beauty treatment has risen dramatically in the last few years. 2 years ago, the money spent on skincare alone was a staggering $38 million. And then the author further pointed out that one of the most visible signs of the new male vanity is in the number of publications that have sprung up to serve this interest. And so then, my friends, as we re-examine our text for today, we remember the words of Jesus. Jesus came to live and to die so that we might have life. And this is not just life after the grave. This is life before the grave and before the funeral. This, my friend, is real life, a life unencumbered and unhassled with all the concerns about how perfect our teeth might be, or how blemish-free our face might appear, or how wrinkle-free our forehead might be. Jesus Christ does not bring the real life through the facial massage. He does not offer a personal tailor for our clothes, and the Savior does not do plastic surgery. The Lord Jesus Christ does much more than this. He operates from within. He recreates from within. And Jesus does not offer a temporary veneer. Jesus Christ and His resurrection transforms us completely. It is indeed as St. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, "For if any man is in Christ by faith, this man is an entirely new creation." Within our heart, yes, within our heart, Jesus plants a new life and a new beauty. In our minds, He establishes the joy of forgiveness. And this assurance of the complete pardon of all our sin and all our mistakes has the power to bring a beauty that is totally unaffected by every passing year. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, and forget all your worries about how you look. In our society, we have set selfish standards as to who is beautiful and who is not, and not very many people qualify. But God has created you, and in Christ, you are beautiful to Him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is certainly the most important doctrine in the Bible, and it is this way because just as Jesus rose from the dead, so also will all those who believe in Him. This gives us hope in life. But then, my friend, let's also remember that the blessings of Jesus are not limited to times of death and funerals. These blessings come every day to all who place their complete trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. These blessings are many: total forgiveness from all sin, perfect pardon from all your past mistakes, strength through the Savior's word to go on every day in life, and peace for a heart troubled by worries of the future. This is what Jesus is offering you today, my friend. Today. And don't wait until you die to be blessed by the Lord. Believe in Him today. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For when you trust in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit will assure your heart that all blessings will flow from the Savior into your life. And so then, now may the peace of God keep your heart and your mind through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.